back. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. And right now, it's 1 p.m., which means it's time for the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready, folks?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
All right, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. I want to hear your keys to victory for Washington versus the Detroit Lions. Rick Snyder, columnist for 106.7 The Fan, wrote an interesting article here that says Commanders must prove themselves versus Lions. Washington travels to Detroit on Sunday as slight underdogs, which is notable only because the latter hasn't been favored in 2 years. Yes, the Detroit Lions have not been favored, whether home or on the road, in 2 seasons. That's basically the entire pandemic.
That's embarrassing.
Right? But even though Washington struggled in week one, they did come away with the victory over Jacksonville, 28-22, led by the fourth quarter drive from Carson Wentz. And on the other side, Detroit was still in it in a game that they lost 38-35 to the Eagles. That really did come down to the wire. And he says it's going to come down to the lines, the D-line and the O-line. Can Detroit bring steady pressure on Washington's quarterback Carson Wentz, who in Indianapolis last season was the NFL's most blitzed passer? For Washington in week one, he had the two turnovers, and both of those interceptions came on plays where he had to get rid of the ball quickly. When he has time in the pocket, you see, he finds guys open. He found Terry McLaurin for a 58-yard bomb that brought us back into it. So that's going to be key. Wide receiver Jahan Dotson was named Rookie of the Week and was asked about what that meant to him, as he's been waiting his entire career to be Rookie of the Year, Rookie of the Week for Washington, and it came in week one. That's all it took for Jahan Dotson.
It's for sure easy after a win, you know, to try to build on the things that you just maybe did wrong in the game or that you didn't do so well. But just trying to keep pushing forward, keep going every single day. Just working hard, communicating with each other, making sure that we're all good, ready to go on Sunday.
So here are a couple keys for Washington. All right, three mistakes the Commanders made that they cannot repeat in week two versus the Lions. This comes from Riggo's Rag. Number one, penalties on allowing big plays. The Commanders won the penalty battle pretty comfortably against the Jaguars because the Jags gave up 13 penalties for 90 yards, but Washington still had 6 for 63 yards, and that's way too many. All right, including defensively, you gave up 2 first downs because of penalties. That's 2 times that your defense could have gotten off the field and forced a punt, but it didn't happen because of a silly mistake. Number two, getting gashed against the run. The Commanders' secondary was up and down against the Jags, but they ultimately limited Trevor Lawrence to 24-42, which was just 57% passing for 275 yards. But it was the running from Travis Etienne that kept the Jaguars in it, and really, he was eating up Jamin Davis on the pass plays as well. Number one, not making Terry McLaurin the focal point. That was a big part of why Washington struggled in the third quarter, if you ask me. They did not get Terry McLaurin involved enough early. Now, I get it. The game plan was to go to Curtis Samuel and use the guy that, you know, everyone's been saying, oh, he's the Ferrari that's been locked in the garage. Well, you know, it was important to get him involved, but also Terry McLaurin's your guy on third downs. And when you don't get it to him early in the game, it is almost like he disappears because you have to force feed that guy the rock because of his ability to make a guy miss and turn a 2-yard catch into a 10-yard reception and a first down. How open is this division now with the Dallas Cowboys being without Dak Prescott for the foreseeable future, Cheek? It feels like things are up in the air.
And yes.
It really could come down to, I get it, it's week three, but when Washington faces the Eagles, that's going to be a big test. And we really will find out who's got a, you know, stranglehold on the division after that game.
And I was going to say, it factors into the overreactions week one. I mean, the Giants looked better than we thought. The Eagles looked more fallible than we thought. The Commanders looked really good, and the Cowboys just lost their quarterback. It does feel wide open.
The problem is that this week feels like a trap game for Washington. Going against the Lions, who were lousy last year. They're 0-1 on the season this year. They cannot make the same mistakes that they made against Jacksonville. Washington has not gone 2-0 since 2011. Two things that Washington needs to do better if they're going to beat the Detroit Lions. I'm going to say that's Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne working together. Now, the reason I say this is because Fedarian Mathis was out last week now, right? After he got hurt in the middle of the game, he'll be out for the rest of the season. We already know we're without Chase Young. You have Obada, you have Cole Holcomb and Jamin Davis, but they're more linebackers. It's going to be tough for Washington to get the pressure and sustain that pressure on a guy like Jared Goff. And really, I think the key is you have to start early coming after him and keep it going throughout the third and the fourth quarter. That was the big thing why Washington let Jacksonville back into the game there, because you saw Trevor Lawrence starting to make some plays with his legs and extend the pocket. That can't happen. I need Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen to bring it for all four quarters. I get it. It's the NFL. It's hard to be, you know, excellent for four quarters, but we can't disappear like we did in the third quarter and expect to win a game like that again.
Defense looked really good on that last Jaguars drive, though. I will give the Commanders that. I was very impressed.
Yeah, that was big. I mean, that was the biggest thing. I did think it was interesting that yesterday everyone was going nuts about Jack Del Rio, and he was very critical of Jamin Davis. And Jamin Davis did struggle, including a couple of examples that were highlighted on social media. Both times he was matched up on running back Travis Etienne Jr. out of the backfield and got beat by far way too easily. But Jack Del Rio fired up about Jamin Davis's play gets me fired up. He said, quote, "I mean, he's got to play player. He's got to play better. He didn't play very well last week. I know he expects to play better. He'll be challenged to play better." And I look, this was the whole thing in the offseason. I kept saying, we need more linebackers. Now you're already at week two and Cole Holcomb is beat up a little bit. He's injured. Hopefully he'll be able to play. Jamin Davis is the only guy you got behind him, and I do not like him in coverage at all. I feel like Jamin Davis's only position could be putting one hand in the dirt and getting after the quarterback or helping out in the running game. You can't have this guy guard tight ends in the NFL. He's going to get burnt. He just looked I saw an interesting article that said he looked like he was lost in the sauce. And that's exactly the way I would put it. He just looked like he didn't know what to do. And especially on one play, he ran into his own guy. He ran into Benjamin St. Juice, and both of them fell over, and two Jaguars were open on the play. So that's going to be an issue for Washington if they can't clean that up this weekend against the Detroit Lions. It's going to be a big one. Can Washington get the win? I want to hear from you guys. 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. What are your keys to victory this weekend? Carson Wentz moves up this week's NFL QB Index. All right, so they ranked him initially at number 20 in the NFL. Remember, some of these had him at 28th. And one of them even had him at 30th. He has now jumped up to 18. In one game, he had a 65.9% passing. He had 313 yards. And, of course, you had the touchdowns and only those two interceptions that, I get it, they were bad passes, but they were not costly. That's the biggest thing. And really, when you talk about Carson Wentz, the reason I say this was the best debut for a quarterback is because we have not, like Fred Smoot said, we have not had a quarterback come in here and have back-to-back touchdown drives since 1991. What happened in 1991? Washington won the Super Bowl. Not saying that's going to happen again this year, but you see, that's how pathetic the quarterback position has been for Washington since then.
Who was 91? Theismann?
I think so. Yeah, Joe Theismann's going to be on A Football Life. I want to play for you guys a little teaser from that video because I thought it was really funny. Him and LT, Lawrence Taylor, they're walking into RFK as they're reliving some of the memories, of course, from LT ending Joe T's career.
Hey!
Well, look who's here.
Damn! And you standing.
Hello, Joe.
And you're standing.
I'm standing. Yeah.
Heck yeah, I'm standing.
What's happening?
Good
What's
to see
on?
You, buddy.
Everything good?
Yeah, things are good. Bring back memories.
Is this the old stadium?
This is where we were. Do you ever?
Does he have CTE?
I'm just curious. Do you ever? How often do you think of?
Say what?
With you and me.
Man, this is. I try not to think about it, but yes, everybody in the country, well, that's the only thing they want to know talk about.
Well, like I told you, I said, people didn't really know who you were until the injury.
Here we go.
And then all of a sudden, now you're like, you know, now like everybody, oh, I know, you're the guy that broke Joe's leg.
What do you mean that nobody knew who I was?
All right, that's enough. Look, I'm certainly excited to see a Pro Football Life on Joe Theismann, but was that awkward or what, Chief?
I thought it was funny.
Oh, I thought it was really awkward. He's asking him, is this the stadium?
Well, yeah, that part.
Well,
yeah.
then he's asking him, how often do you think about breaking my leg on national TV?
Yeah.
Of course he doesn't think about that. Never.
That's what they got to talk about.
And then does Joe Theismann really think that nobody knew who Lawrence Taylor was until he broke his leg? Like, Joe, I'm sorry, I don't think anybody knew who you were until you got your leg broken. At least around the country. They did here in Washington. I'm looking forward to that, but I just thought that was so awkward. All right, injury report for the Commanders. Guard Wes Schweitzer, hamstring injury, did not practice today. Jonathan Allen, limited. Safety Cam Curl, limited. Hopefully we can get him back after the thumb injury. Jamin Davis, full. Trey Turner, limited. Cole Turner, full participant, but I don't know if they're going to dress him because they want to probably dress an extra O-lineman based on the fact that they already have Logan Thomas there and John Bates. Eventually, I want Cole Turner to jump John Bates, but I don't think it'll happen this week. Detroit Lions, Taylor Decker, limited. Center Frank Ragno did not practice. Running back DeAndre Swift did not practice. That's going to be a key for Washington and Detroit. Can running back DeAndre Swift come into the game healthy and be able to run all over the place like he did week one against the Eagles? Linebacker Julian Aquara, full participant. And that is your injury report for the Commanders. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio. Phone lines are open. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Barry Sperluga wrote an article this morning for the Washington Post that says, could the Commanders start 6-1? What? 6-1? What do you think? We'll discuss that next on The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, download the Odyssey app. You can listen to the show for free. You can also rewind if you miss any of the show. Coming up at 1:45, Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus will join the show to go around the NFL and pick winners for this weekend. Parney, CEO of the Flying Squirrels, at 2 p.m. And we'll talk a little high school football at 2:30 with Zach Joaquin. But right now, we got a full studio. Of course, we got my producer, Adam Cheek. What's going on,
Cheek? Good afternoon.
We've got our head engineer, Q, in the building.
How's it going?
And, of course, he's a huge Commanders fan.
Yes, indeed.
And then we brought in the program director, Greg Henson. What's going on, buddy?
How are you?
So you are a Lions fan.
I'm sorry.
But I am nervous about this game because Washington always blows games like this. This is such a trap game for Washington.
Shut up. What is wrong with you guys? Is my mic sound hollow?
I think it sounds
Or is it
good.
My headphones?
Might be probably
the
headphones.
Okay, cool. You're acting like the Lions are some fearsome
group of predators. Well, you guys scored 35 points last week, though.
Okay, hold on. Back the hell up. So, Lion fan is running around acting like they almost beat Philly.
Yeah.
You realize they never once had the ball with a chance to take the lead.
Okay.
Because they did the onside kick. This is what Lions do.
Oh, you're
right. They come back. They come and make it seem like, oh, we're fighting for Dan Campbell because he's so cool. And they really never had a chance to beat the Eagles. They were down 17 most of the game. They did it. They scored a touchdown, got an onside kick, scored again, and then the Eagles ran out the clock. It was never close.
So you don't think Detroit has enough weapons to
No.
give Washington any trouble?
No.
Because I was watching Hard
No.
Knocks, and like you, I was all in on DeAndre Swift.
Well, he's great when he's healthy, but he's always hurt.
But he's going to be healthy this weekend.
I thought you said he didn't practice today.
Well, yeah, but that's just the injury report.
Yeah, but if he didn't practice today, he won't play Sunday.
Well, we'll see what happens.
That's normally how it goes. Hopefully that's how it goes.
Yeah. Well, he was great last week. He was amazing.
Who's the backup? It's not Adrian Peterson.
Jamal Williams?
No. Oh, Jamal. Yeah.
The guy who was trying to make a name for himself on Hard Knocks by dancing all the time because he's no good at football. So
that speech got me fired up, though.
It got the world fired up, but they stink. He's Dan Campbell. Do you know who Wayne Fonts was? He was the Lion coach in the 90s when Barry was here. He was a complete buffoon.
That's right, yeah.
He won one playoff game, though, when they beat Dallas and Troy Aikman was a rookie. So He's Wayne Fonts with muscles. That's all he is. He's a total meathead.
All right, but Q, you're like me. You're nervous for this weekend, too. I get it. It's the Lions, but we always blow games like this.
Oh, yeah, Who are you talking to?
I'm definitely nervous because this is the life of a Commanders fan, you know?
Oh,
we get the highs.
Oh, yeah.
We're all jazzed up about beating the Jaguars, and here we go.
It must suck having Super Bowl rings. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I haven't ever seen that. I was born in 92.
I was born in 90, so... I guess I was here for one.
See this? It's a one finger. Here it is. One finger, though. It's the right finger because that's how many playoff wins the Lions have had since 1958.
Good God.
That's embarrassing.
Are you serious?
Isn't that the greatest stat ever? Yes. They won a playoff game in 91, then promptly went to D.C. and got their head smashed in.
I'm so sorry.
One win since 1958.
So do you expect Detroit to just get their pants knocked off this weekend?
I don't think Washington's capable of smoking them, but they'll beat them. Of course they will.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Of course they will. You guys are
favorites
going 2-0
too. Huh? For the first time in 2 years, you guys are favorites.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't think the Commanders are any good, but I know the Lions aren't any good. I mean, that's just fact. I'm a self-hating Lion fan. I grew up there, and I firmly believe your team picks you. You don't pick your team.
Yep.
Wherever you're from, you pick the team that you're in. So I'm in hell right now because all of our teams suck. The Pistons have some hope, but I don't see any hope with the Lions. Aiden Hutchinson last week, all we heard about was, oh, he's better than you think. He promptly graded out at 23 out of 25 for rush ends.
Oh, my God.
Or something like that. Like he was terrible.
I saw a couple plays where he was there, though.
And
he just
Hurts
couldn't
went
finish.
Right around him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Hurts can kill you with his legs.
Yep.
How big would this be for the city if Washington starts 2-0?
It'd be great.
It'd be so sweet.
The funny part is I don't think any team's ever started 0-2 and made the playoffs. So if the Lions lose, they're out. If you guys win, you're on your way because you're in a crappy division.
So the last time Especially
Washington, with Dak out.
The last time Washington started 2-0 was 2011. After that, they finished the season 5-11.
So they finished 7-11.
Yeah. Rex Grossman was the
Rex
quarterback
Grossman.
Back then, though.
Yeah. Oh, Rexy.
Yeah, sexy
oh
Rexy.
God.
Yikes.
Rex was easy to beat. I remember Michigan smoking his ass in a bowl game. In the Outback Bowl. I was there.
Really?
Yep. It was awesome. He sucked.
Man. So, look, Greg, I liked what I saw from Carson Wentz week one, and I think this is a good test for him against the Lions defense, though.
Do you think he's going to be okay after that tough question he got a couple weeks ago? Is he gonna live through that?
Oh, I think he's going to be able to handle that.
Yeah. I hope so.
I don't think he's soft at all.
Because all the sissies in the media who were like, oh, it's a hard question. It's a real question, you know? But, yeah, I think Carson Wentz will be fine. I mean, he's better than Jared Goff.
100%.
Well, of course he is 100%. Better than Goff, but I'm just worried that he's not going to have time in the pocket. That's the biggest thing.
Who's going to rush him?
Hutchinson.
They'll double team him. There's no one else.
Well, I don't.
That's going to be Hutchinson's biggest problem. If he is as good as advertised, they'll just double him because they'll get pushed nowhere else.
I'm starting to think that this is a game here that Washington loses just because everyone's picking us to win.
No, we're going to win. We're going to win.
You'll win.
Yeah. I'm picking the
Did you see too. That the that in Vegas right now, it's 65% on Lions?
That was the same last week. I think it was like almost 70% on Jaguars.
That stuff? Seriously. Yeah. The Lions are terrible.
It's just people are watching Hard Knocks and getting worked up.
Hey, I agree. I think Hard Knocks has people. You know, here's the funny thing. People watch Hard Knocks and they see a coach who gets fired up. Don't they realize every coach is like that? Every coach is a cheerleader. That's their job.
Yeah, but Ron Rivera's not like that.
The Jeff Fisher hype when the Rams were on there. Everyone's so hyped. He's average.
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
But they all get so fired up. You know, they're all bricked up about Dan Campbell, man. Dan Campbell. And I'm like, what the hell? No one wanted Dan Campbell. You could have had Dan Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
Any team could have had him. He was a freaking tight ends coach in New Orleans. It's not like this is some genius that they plucked from.
Well, that's the thing is, I can't wait
for
him. The
loins of Belichick.
I can't wait for him to coach a great game and then they beat us and then he is a genius.
He's not though. I mean, last week did you see he pooch kicked and gave Philly the ball at their own 45-yard line after the Lions had scored to get some momentum back.
That's incredibly dumb.
It's really dumb. And then, at the end of the first half. He completely botched the game clock. I mean, this is the same crap that keeps happening.
Same thing happens in Washington, too. I hate Ron Rivera's decision. All right, let's go around the room and give some predictions here. Q, let's start for you. Score prediction this weekend. Who's going to win?
Oh, man, I think we got a shootout on our hands, so I'm going to say We'll go 30-24 Commanders.
Ooh.
73-4 Commanders.
73-4
Is that even, how is that
possible?
Two
safeties.
Two safeties.
It's like
go.
Being an Iowa Hawkeye, getting scoring 7 points, a field goal, and two safeties. I bet you the Commanders win 35-28.
Okay, you do think it will be close.
Well, 7's not really close in the NFL. Most games are decided by 3.
Yeah, you think it's like 14 and Detroit scores a garbage time touchdown.
Yeah, that's
what they always do.
Yeah, they'll never have a chance. And I'll tell you, though, they're really good at getting onside kicks. That's the one thing they do well. They did it last year like 3 times.
How about that guy Rodrigo throwing down someone last
year? But Rodrigo graded out pretty low, too.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, look, if your defense has a 6-rounder starting as a rookie, your defense sucks.
I know.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, Rodrigo, God love him, he would be at best a backup on a good team.
Right.
You know, because he's a heady guy, you know.
He's a rah-rah guy.
He's a rah-rah guy, yeah. He's like, you know, he's a possession receiver. In other words, he's a white guy who tries hard.
He's a pass-first point guard. Right?
He's a Wes Welker type.
You know what's funny? That's what the kids call people who do that. They call him a try-hard.
Yeah.
You know, you're a try-hard if you're out there running around in practice cheering.
Cheek, what's your prediction?
Commanders 26, Lions 21.
Ooh, so you
I think it's
going to
be relatively close.
So, all right, I will go with the Commanders 32-28. I think it's going to be close, man.
But you just took mine. Mine's 35-28.
Yeah, well, I'm not allowed to steal your pick.
But you're like the guy on Price is Right who undercuts me.
That's exactly how this went.
Yeah, exactly. You just undercutted me without going over.
Hey, look, if we start 2-0, I might have to do the show Monday butt naked.
Go ahead. Right? I won't
Please
be
don't.
Here.
Just put
I
my
won't
feet
be
up
here.
On
Please
the table.
Do not.
Yeah. Adam, you can have the day off. I would never do that to you.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, man.
You.
That was fun.
I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Phone lines open if you want to chime in. 833-804-0910. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio. Phone lines are open. 833-804-0910. I want to hear from you guys, Commanders fans out there. 833-804-0910. Hanging out with my producer, Adam Cheek, as well as our engineer, Q. I'd love to have you in the building here. And look, I was actually tracking you down on Monday because I know you're a diehard fan like me. And I just wanted a high five.
Yeah, man.
Can we do that now?
Yes.
1-0 for the Commanders. And I brought you on here again for another segment because I want to talk about Barry Sperluga's article in the Washington Post today that says the Commanders could start 6-1 this season. He says you don't want to get ahead of yourself here, but going through the schedule, there's a real possibility that Washington is 6-1. Part of that's because you have week 3 against the Eagles. That's a winnable matchup at home. Week 4, you have the Dallas Cowboys, who are without Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott, yep.
And then I'll go through the rest of the schedule in just a minute. What do you think? Can the Commanders go 6-1 on the season?
Absolutely not. But it sounds good.
It does sound
good.
Yeah,
it sounds great. If they do go 6-1, you know, I'll probably lose my mind. People won't want to talk to me or see me because I'll only be talking Commanders.
Yeah. Well, that's the best thing about it is that it's just fun to talk about the team when they win. When they lose, you have to just shut it out completely.
Yeah. That's part of the worst part about being a Commanders fan is not being able to fly your flag because they suck so much. But.
So this weekend, the Lions, let's just say it's a victory. That's 2-0.
That's a dub, yeah.
Eagles week 3 at home.
It's at home, but FedEx is notorious for having a ton of Eagles fans, so we'll be up against it. But I'm going to the game. It's a dub.
Oh, you're going to the game. It's
I am.
A dub.
I'm going.
All right. Dallas Cowboys week 4 without Dak. That's a dub.
Easy.
5 is the Titans game. I think that's going to be a tough one for
That's
Washington.
Tough.
We usually struggle against good running backs like Derrick Henry.
Exactly. None of our linebackers can tackle, so.
And then the week after that, though, is the Bears. And look, it's certainly possible that Washington could be 6-1.
Yes, 100%. The Bears suck. At maybe like 5-2. Maybe. I see 5-2 more than 6-1, but.
The article went on to say that Washington's last 2-0 start came in 2011. What happened that year? It lost 6 in a row in the middle of the season to finish 5-11 and last in the NFC East. Maybe this week 1 win changes everything, but maybe not. We'll see. Let's see what happens the rest of the season. But Washington won its first game only 11 times this century.
Yikes.
Only three times did that lead victory lead to a winning record. The last time, the last start of 5-1 or better was 1996. It has been a long time for Washington. Deadspin wrote an article saying the Commanders are primed to replace the Lions as the NFL's worst team because the Lions have been underdogs for 2 years now, and now all of a sudden they're picked as favorites against Washington. What does that say about us, man?
There's we have a lot of haters. You know, there's a lot of haters, and rightfully so because, you know, ownership and whatever. But I think the team is turning around. We got a couple of bright spots that a lot of people in the national media don't see. So
no, yeah, exactly. The national media doesn't understand how good Jahan Dotson is.
Exactly.
They don't understand how good Brian Robinson is going to be when he comes back. And they hate on Carson Wentz. Now, I don't understand the hate on Carson. Like, do you think it's because he's kind of goofy looking? Like, just like me, he's got this red beard. He's kind of balding a little bit. He's kind of tall and he kind of walks bow-legged a little bit.
I think he's a little bit different from your average quarterback nowadays.
Right. He's really into hunting.
Like, hunting and farming and stuff like that. Maybe that's why they don't like him. Maybe because he gives them, you know, these vanilla answers in the media.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't like him.
But I totally think it's so unfair.
Yeah. I think it's unfair, too. I think he's got a great arm. He does make boneheaded decisions, but I think he's better than half the quarterbacks in the league.
There were like 100 people on social media, including NFL columnist Warren Sharp, who jumped on the Carson Wentz hate bandwagon after that second interception and kept saying, he is who we thought he was.
Yeah.
Right? Well, he shut them up with two touchdowns
exactly.
in the fourth quarter.
Warren
that
Sharp,
felt so good.
Yeah, Warren Sharp stopped tweeting about Wentz shortly after that.
Oh,
so,
of course he did.
And Warren Sharp is notorious for hating the Commanders as a franchise, so we'll leave it at that.
All right, let's go through our keys to victory here for Washington, facing off with the Detroit Lions, 1 p.m. on Sunday. So, look, I think the biggest reason that Washington beat the Jaguars was because of that 14-0 lead to start the game. So that's my first key to victory for Washington. First drive has to be in the end zone.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. That gets us off to a good start. That's what we struggled with last year and for eons before that is
right.
a fast start. Yeah.
And look, I loved Heinicke, but part of that was on him. You know,
yeah.
He didn't have the arm strength to take advantage because that's the thing with when the NFL game starts, right? Your defense doesn't have any tape on you. As soon as the second quarter is going, they have the little iPads on the side. They know exactly what you're running, right?
Yeah.
They're making adjustments. So that's why coaches script the first 10 plays and the first drive because it's so key.
Yeah.
If you start up 7-0, you win a lot. I don't know what the percentage is, but I'd say you probably win at least 50% of the games like that.
Probably somewhere around there, yeah. So last year we were doing, like, our first drive was 3-and-out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we get 20 yards and
punt. And that's what the second half looked like.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole second half.
Yeah.
That's the thing that worries me most is that the offense went from best in the NFL, best I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm losing my mind over Carson Wentz. I think Curtis Samuel's the greatest wide receiver ever. To all of a sudden, punt, punt, punt. Turnover.
Yeah.
And I just, now, part of that's on Wentz. Part of it's on the drop passes also. Part of it's on play calling.
Fumbles,
right? The Curtis Samuel fumble. I think they got away from running the ball a little bit, right?
Yeah.
With the lead, you should probably hand it off more. But then all of a sudden they turned it around again, and I wonder what it was. You know, was it the play calling? Was it Carson just, you know, putting the team on his back?
I think Carson put the team on his back.
Yeah,
I'll leave it at that. I mean, he really just, he went to a whole nother level. That pass to Terry down the sideline was incredible.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's my second key to victory here. It should not take four quarters for us to throw it deep. I mean, what the hell, right? Carson Wentz has the great arm strength. Why are we waiting till 8 minutes left in the game to throw the bomb?
Yeah.
Let's do it in the first half.
Yeah.
Let's take a shot with Curtis Samuel. I get it. He's got the speed, and they're like, hey, just get him the ball and like make a guy miss, and he was good at that. But let's use his speed on a fly route.
Exactly. I think they wanted to show Curtis off a little bit and use Terry as a decoy, but Terry's, in my opinion, is one of the best wide receivers in the league. Force feed him the ball. I don't care. He's never not open. You know,
yeah.
So
now my third key to victory here is the defense got to get off the field on third downs. I mean, it's so simple, but yet that is the key to the game every year.
Yeah, every year we get beat up on third down, and you know we're the worst third down defense for like the past 2 years or so or something like that.
You know what happened last night? The Chiefs defense won them the game because they I'm trying to figure out how you describe this. In tennis, they call it forcing another shot. In basketball, they call it forcing an extra pass,
yep.
right? In NFL, it's forcing one more down.
Yep.
There was a second down and two, and they got it to third and inches, and then they forced a fourth and inches, and they punted. You force an extra down, and you make a coach make that decision. Hey, should we go for this fourth and inches on our own 30? That's how you win games. You fourth and extra down.
Yeah. What the Commanders struggle with is giving up third down and 8, third down and 12. You know, these third and long situations where, you know, there's just – then once you make that play, you get the momentum and things like that, and the game gets away from you. That's what I see.
That's what I see too. So many times you see we give up these big runs on first down, and then we wonder why it was second and two. They're taking a deep shot downfield.
Yeah.
You know? It's just so important. I need to see more from the secondary. I did not like what I saw from Kendall Fuller.
No, and I'm a Kendall Fuller stan, but he looked a little bit exposed. St. Juice got exposed.
Yeah.
William Jackson III, I don't really know if he did anything. The only bright spot was Derek Forrest.
Who the hell is Derek Forrest, bro? He was like our third-round draft pick last year. I don't think he played much at all
He was hurt, yeah.
Right? You know, the name I heard more last year was like Monte Nichols, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, we've had all these different safeties since Sean Taylor, but finally we had a guy make a game-winning interception. I think it's going to be key for him this weekend to build off of that momentum. Cam Curl still
out. Hopefully he gets back, yeah.
Hopefully he gets back, but I doubt we'll see him this weekend. I mean, when you think about a broken thumb at a safety position, that's probably at least 3 weeks right there.
Maybe, yeah.
Right?
I mean, I'm of the mindset of put some pads on it and get out there, but that's just me.
All right, what are your keys for Washington against Detroit?
Keys, okay. So if we can, for the defense, if we can tackle properly for DeAndre Swift and not let him wiggle out, I don't know, he's didn't practice today, so it's up in the air if he'll play. Tackling, for one. Oh, man, you put me on the spot. Another key for Wentz to keep the ball rolling, right? If we can keep the same tempo and the same offense that we had against the Jaguars, against this Lions defense, game over.
He can't disappear like he did, though, for
exactly,
two quarters.
Exactly, yeah.
It's so important. And look, you could say this about every NFL team, but specifically I said this about Washington all of last year. Ron Rivera has not gotten his guys to play one complete game of four straight quarters.
No.
Since the Rivera era started.
It's just a roller coaster of emotions.
Oh my God.
I start the game out, I'm standing up, my feet are sweating, and then by the third quarter, I'm on the couch like crying into my beard.
And I have no nails left, right?
Yeah.
No nails left. I'm biting all my nails off. I mean, the year we made the playoffs in 2020, we're 7-8-1 or, you know,
7-9.
7-9 and still made the playoffs. That year, there were so many games where we had to come back in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Or we'd be
slow starts.
Slow starts, too, right?
Yeah.
And so that was key week one, right? Got the hot start and then disappeared. So I think, what does Ron Rivera need to do to tell these boys, hey, we can't disappear for a quarter? You're going to lose NFL games like that.
Yeah, maybe they should just stay out on the field at halftime. And not
right?
going to not
to
going
the
to the locker room.
Because obviously Ron's not rah-rah enough, you know?
Yeah.
The junkies kind of make fun of him because they say he's an arm folder kind of coach. And you're right. I mean, I need him screaming at the guys at halftime. They need to be better. Jack Del Rio's got to get his guys pumped up. I mean, Jamin Davis has to do better. That's actually my biggest worry because the reports are that Cole Holcomb's not at 100%.
Yeah.
We don't really have other help at linebacker.
And David Mayo, maybe, but yeah.
No, and the reason, the way Washington is kind of hiding the linebacker issues is by playing extra corners and extra safeties.
Extra safeties, yeah.
Right? And at times that's okay. At times you're going to get mismatches because of that. And you're going to be having, you know, smaller guys in for a big, heavy set running play.
Yeah, For last week, Jamin Davis covering Christian Kirk, who's arguably the best slot receiver in the league.
What the hell are we doing?
Yeah, what was that?
And then Travis Etienne would have walked into the end zone if he didn't drop the pass.
Yeah.
I'm just so worried. That it almost felt like Jack Del Rio this week was like sticking on his chest and being like, look at this game tape. My defense was excellent for 10 guys, except for Jamin Davis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He just singled him out. Yeah.
He singled him out, and he was like, look at every play where our defense gave up a chunk. It was his fault.
It was his fault, yeah.
And,
I mean, that one almost touchdown pass to ETN, it was Jamin Davis.
Yeah, he ran into St. Juice.
Exactly. That's
he ran into your
so
own
bad.
Teammate.
So bad.
Where do we get this guy from?
It's
Kentucky?
Kentucky.
That's why you don't draft football players from Kentucky.
No, only basketball players, and you definitely don't. I'm very weary of the fast riser. You know, the combine sweetheart who is running 4.3 40s and bench pressing 225, 30 times or whatever. Stay away from that guy. Watch the tape and what he did in college.
You can't say this about every guy in the NFL, but most of the times you say, you look at him, basketball school or football school. Our D-line that we love all went to football schools.
Bama. Yeah.
We'll get our linebackers, Cole Holcomb. I like him, but he went to UNC.
UNC,
I mean, that's
yeah.
a Jordan school. You know? what are
You're
we doing?
You're so right. I never even thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of basketball school guys running around.
Kendall Fuller's okay. He went to Tech.
That's DBU.
That is DBU, but he's overrated.
Yeah, he's overrated. I think he's a little bit long in the tooth as far as a cornerback goes, so maybe he's over the hill. This might be his last year starting outside or something like that.
Yeah, if William Jackson III plays better. Hey, hopefully we get the win, and I'll bring you back on to celebrate next week a 2-0 start to the season.
For sure. I'm ready for it.
I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein, and NFL Week 2 is underway. How about that game last night? A great one. Two unbelievable quarterbacks, Justin Herbert dueling with Patrick Mahomes. A slow start for the Chiefs, but they really got going there in the second half and came away with the victory. To go around the NFL right now, joining me on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline is Sam Munson. What's going on, Sam?
Hey, how's it going?
How have you liked the start to the NFL season? You got to be pumped up.
Yeah, it was a great week one, and obviously that's a pretty special game last night for the first Amazon Thursday Night Football thing. Didn't necessarily go the way we thought it might with Herbert and Mahomes trying to throw the ball to the opposition every couple of seconds, but it was a fun game nonetheless.
Sam Munson joins us on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Sam. He's their lead NFL analyst. So let's go through a couple of games from this weekend here. And I want to start with Sunday, 1 p.m. I really don't know what to make of the Dolphins at the Baltimore Ravens. I know a friend of mine who's on the Junks in the morning, Matt Valdez, is all in on the Dolphins winning this game, saying they've been circling this game for over a year because of the way the Dolphins played against them last year and were able to do that zero blitz and shut down Lamar. And I was shocked to see how Tua looked in week one, and him and Tyreek Hill, they looked excellent. What do you make of this matchup here?
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating one because we do have the game last year that showed such a crazy game plan that was so effective. I mean, this was one of the most dominant sort of single game schematic victories of the entire season. But Miami just brought that zero blitz constantly. The Ravens had no answer for it. Lamar Jackson wasn't able to adjust to it all the way through that game. So you have to think that even with a new, a new head coach and all those kinds of things in Miami, they're going to figure out, they're going to test and find out if Lamar and the Ravens have adjusted to that and have found an answer. They'd be crazy not to, because it was so successful the last time they met. So I think that is a really interesting thing to watch and see if, you know, how much does Miami blitz early in that game? How much or how obvious is it that the Ravens have figured out some kind of adjustment to that? Or is that still the answer to defeating the Ravens? Can you just go crazy with zero blitzes and try and overwhelm and stifle this offense? So, yeah, that's a really interesting thing to watch. And then anytime Tyreek Hill is on the football field, how teams are going to try and defend him is something to watch, because it is a different dynamic than it was in Kansas City. He doesn't have Patrick Mahomes on the other end of it, but his speed, his quickness, his unique abilities as an athlete just makes him a threat every single play he's on the field.
Another game I want to get your take on here is the Patriots at the Pittsburgh Steelers. To me, it feels like Bill Belichick's trying to prove the NFL that he's smarter than everyone. I don't know why it's not a big enough story here right now that Matt Patricia was their DC, then he goes to Detroit, he comes back, and now he's their offensive coordinator. The offense looked terrible, dreadful in week one. And then the Steelers, man, I didn't know what to expect from them offensively. They put enough points on the board. Defense and special teams were the reason that they won that game. And Mike Tomlin's never been, what, below 500 on the year? So you feel like he's going to find a way to win some games this season. What do you make of this matchup?
Yeah, it's like a legacy matchup. We've got Bill Belichick. We've got Mike Tomlin. But the other things that were always around those guys to make this such a mouth-watering contest aren't there anymore. There's no Ben Roethlisberger. There's no Tom Brady. When you look at the Patriots, there just isn't a ton of talent across either side of the ball. They've got a couple of good players here or there, but you're not scared by pretty much any individual on offense. They have a good offensive line. You're not really scared by their defense either. And Pittsburgh's kind of the same story. Okay, they've got a bit more talent, I think, on defense, but they've got injuries now that have bitten deep. You know, guys like T.J. Watt isn't going to be there in this game, and Minka Fitzpatrick played out of his mind against Cincinnati in the first game. He probably won't do that again just because it's one of the four or five best games of his career. So if Minka doesn't play at that kind of level, all of a sudden you're like, this is just not that good a game. Or it might be a good game, but it's between two teams that aren't as good as we typically think of them as.
Sam Munson joins us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. And Sam, you might know this stat here, but I think it's like, teams that start 0-2 make the playoffs less than 5% of the time. That's going to happen between one of these two teams here as the Cardinals travel to Vegas to take on the Raiders.
Yeah, it's a big game for both these two teams. I actually like it quite a lot as a bounce-back spot for the Cardinals. When you look at what they did week one, it was a genuinely suicidal game plan against Patrick Mahomes. We know you don't blitz Patrick Mahomes. And the Chargers did it a little bit yesterday as well, which was an interesting thing to see. But the Cardinals blitzed him like 60% of the time in week one. And in Mahomes' career against the blitz, he's got something like 56 touchdowns, seven interceptions, like a passer rating of 120+. You just don't blitz the guy. He knows where to go. He knows how to attack you when you send extra rushers. And the Cardinals did that almost all game against him. It's literally impossible for them to craft a game plan that can go as badly against the Raiders as that one did against the Chiefs. And I think you'll sort of see a much better Cardinals team once they're not behind the eight ball that badly and trying to chase the game and trying to dig themselves out of that kind of hole.
You can check out Sam's work by following him on Twitter at @PFF_Sam, PFF's lead NFL analyst. Let's go through some of the primetime matchups real quickly here. Tell me why Aaron Rodgers won't start the season 0-2. I mean, that Bears team was a lot better than most people expected and really beat the crap out of the 49ers.
Yeah, it was, but I think a lot of that was the weather. You know, the Chicago offensive line looked okay, but on the other hand, the field was an absolute wet mess, and it was going to neutralize the kind of pass-rushing ability that San Francisco usually would bring to bear. I think Green Bay this week with Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark and the other guys they can deploy, I think they're going to remind that Bears offensive line, you know, how bad it looked on paper and where it probably realistically is this season. So when that happens, and if they don't get a couple of kind of fluky plays, I think they're not going to get nearly as much going as they did against the 49ers. And a motivated Aaron Rodgers, an angry Aaron Rodgers, a guy who got kind of shown up last week against the Vikings, I think they're absolutely going to be motivated to show the Bears, you know, where the true hierarchy stands in this division.
Sam, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I think the Tennessee Titans defeat the Buffalo Bills on Monday night at the first one of the Monday Nighters here, because I just don't think this Titan team starts the season 0-2. I love Derrick Henry. I think Ryan Tannehill is good enough to make some plays happen on the play action if they're able to establish the run. And I like that defense, and I think Vrabel is an excellent head coach. I don't see him starting the season 0-2. I get it. The Bills are a tough matchup, and it's there in Buffalo, but I'm going to have them getting the win.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't see them starting 0-2 either unless the second game was against Buffalo. Like, I agree with you. I think Vrabel is a great head coach, and I think there's a reason why he has a good record after defeats, and he's able to bounce back well, and the Titans are a team that has won a lot of games that it didn't look like they should have won going into the game. They've outperformed expectations consistently, but yeah, all the evidence so far or at the moment suggests that Buffalo, they're just the best team in the NFL right now. They looked incredible against the Rams. They showed that areas that were weak previously, or at least weaker, are suddenly areas of strength. You know, their pass rush is deep. It's able to get pressure with four. They're able to win in a variety of different ways. And right now, there isn't really a game plan to stop Josh Allen. The Rams tried to force him to be patient and dink and dunk all day, and he did. He just went, okay, fine. I'll take the easy stuff. I'll take short passes. And he still marched the ball down the field. And then the second the Rams went out of that and rotated coverages, he took an immediate shot downfield and put up points that way. So I it's possible. Look, it's any given Sunday. It's the NFL. We know weird results happen all the time. But I'd be pretty shocked if the Titans were able to pull that upset.
Sam, great stuff as always. Thanks, man.
Anytime. Take it easy.
Yep. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.